Chewbacca and Leia stooped to pick up the blasters that the stormtroopers dropped, and then they hurry down the shining corridor. C-3PO calls back.
I'm terribly sorry about all this. He's just a Wookiee, you know.
Lando drags himself to his feet, grabs a blaster for himself, and follows them, limping and gasping. They haven't gone far when C-3PO sees a familiar form emerging from a doorway.
R2! R2!
Leia stops, turns, and runs back to the little service droid. Chewbacca follows her.
Oh, turn around!
C-3PO shouts at him.
Please! Oh, you big stupid rug!
Leia bends down to talk to R2-D2. Where's Luke? She demands. R2 beeps madly. Lando has just caught up. He's panting.
He's gone into the freezing chamber,
C-3PO translates, still flailing and looking in the wrong direction.
Oh, R2, how could you have left him alone?
Lando says,
If we're gonna save Han, this Skywalker will have to fend for himself.
He looks at the princess. Leia hesitates. She squeezes her knuckles with her fingers until her hands have gone white. She is choosing between a pile of diamonds and a pile of gold, and she doesn't know which is which. Finally, she says, If Luke's in there with Vader, we couldn't help him anyway. Her voice is trembling. Let's go get Han. The small party, now joined by R2-D2, hurries for the east platform. The door is sealed, and Lando's mad punching of numbers into a keypad yields no results. He curses.
They've changed the security codes.
But R2-D2 has already begun interfacing with the communication port. Within moments, the door slides open. Lando, Leia, and Chewbacca rush through. R2 rolls after them, beeping at C-3PO.
What do I care about the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon?
The golden droid snaps at him, bouncing up and down with each of Chewbacca's enormous strides.
We're trying to save Master Han. And what do I always tell you about interfacing with strange computers? You can catch something. Who knows what that computer's been interfacing with recently? Did you even ask?
As the group emerges into the pink atmosphere of Bespin, they see Boba Fett disappearing into his small, rusty ship, and the hatch swing closed. Lando lets loose a ferocious volley of blaster fire. They all do. No use. They ricochet harmlessly off the spacecraft, like laser balls in one of those laser pinball machines on Melchior 5. Lando, Chewbacca, and Leia stand on the landing pad, furious but impotent, as Boba Fett's ship lifts off the landing pad and swiftly rises into the sweet-smelling clouds, with Han Solo, frozen in carbonite, secure in the cargo hold. For a moment, they just stare. Then Leia says, I guess our best bet now is the Millennium Falcon.
Right,
Lando agrees, with renewed hope.
She's the fastest ship in the galaxy.
Leia, Chewie, and C-3PO all shake their heads. Lesson Kai. Prepare yourself. Get yourself into a comfortable sitting position. It can be in a chair or on the floor. Get a timer or ask someone to time you. You are going to meditate for 3 minutes. This is the longest I have asked you to meditate. It will not be easy. You will not be able to keep your mind still the whole time. But whenever your mind starts to wander, breathe deeply and think of that thin silver thread of breath going in your nose, to the bottom of your belly, and out again. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't be afraid that you will fail. Just relax and sit, and let your thoughts wander away from you, like sheep into a distant field. When you've meditated for 3 minutes, open your eyes. Smile. You have peace. You have compassion. You have patience. And therefore, you have strength. Which is good, because you're going to need it. Chapter 27. You've lost Leia and the rest of them, and R2 has lost you. You pad through the white, shimmering corridors. You let your friends slide from your mind. Vader is near. He's the one you must focus on now. You come to an elevating pad, set back in a recessed alcove. There is a button on the wall. You step onto the pad and push the button. You are being drawn forward. You are not choosing anymore. You are not in control. The pad is rising now, bringing you into a new room. A room unlike the sterilized white corridors of the rest of the mining complex. The black walls are barely lit, and where they are, it is with winking red lights, while a violet glow suffuses the floor. Cold mist drifts across the cavernous space, but there is something colder here than the mist. You hear breathing, deep, rhythmic, metallic. You look up. There is a dark flight of stairs. At its head stands a great shadow. With a helmet shimmering in the red and violet industrial dusk, and a black cape swaying gently by the shadow's feet. It is Vader, as you knew it would be. His voice is as soft as a lullaby, as sudden as a sword.
You are not a Jedi.
It is not what you expected him to say. You don't know what you expected, but not that. He sounds almost disappointed in you. He is still speaking.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi. Not yet.
You resist the urge to respond, to tell him what you've done and what you intend to do. Instead, you simply ignite your lightsaber. It glows blue in the darkness.
I have not seen that blade in a long time.
You grip it more tightly. It was my father's, he says.
I remember.
And then he ignites his, an infernal red. You walk toward one another. You up the stairs, him down. Your mind drifts to the cave on Dagobah. There, fear defeated you. That will not happen again. You think of balancing on your hands, with Yoda sitting on your feet. You think of running through the forest, knowing the good wood from the bad, the strong vines from the weak. You think of leading a raging Elephoth back to her child. In those times, you were strong. Despite your fatigue, despite the pain, despite your fear, you take a deep breath and return to that place. You are but a sword's length away from the greatest weapon in the galaxy, and yet you will not be afraid. You sweep your blade forward. Vader repels the blow without effort. You thrust again. He carries your sword away, steps down the stairs into the side, and sends a searing swipe at your head. But you knew he would. You saw it, a fraction of a second before it happened. You duck, and Vader's blade cuts an electrical wire, burying you in a cascade of sparks. You slide out of his reach.
You have learned much, young one.
You lunge at him again and again. He falls back, parrying both blows, but not quite so effortlessly this time. You'll find I'm full of surprises, you say. Just as you do, Vader swings his blade. You move to the side, above him on the stairs. He is slower than you expected. And Vader punches your sword hand with his fist. Your lightsaber hurtles through the air and clatters to the bottom of the staircase, far out of reach. You turn back to Vader. Fear has returned to your chest. Behind his mask, you can sense him almost smiling. He steps forward. And then, you are flipping backward through the air. You land on your feet, reach out, and can sense that your lightsaber is lying some 10 meters away. But what is 10 meters? Just the Force in different form. Vader charges down the stairs. You call to your lightsaber, and it flies to your hand. It merely needed to trade places with the part of the Force that you were holding, the part that looked like empty air. Vader is upon you. You duck and roll and rise to your feet, facing him, sword ignited and ready. Vader speaks.
Your destiny lies with me, Skywalker. Obi-Wan knew this to be true.
No! You shout, a little louder than you intended. Why did you shout? Suddenly, Vader lunges at you. You step back, and there is no floor beneath you. You are falling. You hit the ground. He distracted you, confused you. You felt fear and not the space behind you.
All too easy,
Vader murmurs. He is adjusting knobs on an interface above, and suddenly it is cold. Very, very cold.
Perhaps you're not as strong as the Emperor thought.
Then you are flying upward. Yes, flying. You never knew you could. But you can. You are. Freezing carbon gas is filling the pit, but you are above it now, perched on a pipe attached to the ceiling. Vader looks down, and then up at you.
Impressive,
he says. Is there a smile in his voice? You drop to a platform opposite Vader and raise your lightsaber. Vader raises his to meet it.
Obi-Wan has taught you well. You have controlled your fear. Now, release your anger.
And you feel it. Anger coursing through you. Anger at this man. This Sith. Who killed your father. Who killed your master. Who taunts you one moment and praises you the next as if he were...
Yes,
Vader calls to you.
Only your hatred can destroy me.
You swing at him with all your might. He blocks, stepping back. You swing again and again, knocking him backward. You are trying to control your anger, but you are not succeeding. It is controlling you. Vader is blocking and blocking, but your attack is furious, relentless, blinding. He steps back and falls. You stare. He has disappeared into the gloom. The room has holes in it, it turns out. Holes that disappear into a great black mess of pipes. They must lead, you figure, to the central reactor of the mining colony. You switch off your lightsaber, hook it to your belt, and take a long, slow breath. Then, you follow Vader into the darkness. You are walking through a tunnel. You see nothing, but you can feel the shape of the space, the force, taking the form of a tube. You walking through it. Vader is not here. You press on. You emerge into a cluttered, dark corridor. Large windows, giving out onto the central reactor core, shed a very dim light. You reach out with your senses. Vader is here, but he is avoiding you, muddying the force around you. A pang of fear slaps your heart. He is stronger than you are. And that's when it hits you, like a barn being thrown by a sandstorm, right into your body. You fall, then rise again, throbbing with pain. A giant piece of machinery has clattered to the floor beside you. You turn to look where it came from, and another crashes into your head. You are on your knees. You raise your lightsaber to protect yourself, but the metal objects are coming too fast. Vader is detaching them from walls, lifting them from the floor, and hurling them at you. You can't see them. You can't sense them. Vader has muddied the force too much. You are bleeding. You are reeling. You are losing. And that's when the biggest one hits you, and you are flying through one of the large windows, glass shattering around you like rain in a storm. Into the reactor shaft. There is nothing below you. Nothing for half a kilometer or more. Time has slowed, which is not necessarily good, because it is merely giving you time to realize that you are falling to your death. Vader has killed you. And then, as you fall, you realize that there is a gantry platform, a long, thin steel catwalk, very near you.
You inhale a long, silvery breath. You reach out. You are falling, but your hand touches steel. You grab the steel. Your body snaps like a fish at the end of a line, but your hand is still gripping the steel. Below you, the reactor core descends into oblivion. Wind is whipping at your face. You smell your own sweat, and your legs are swinging over the abyss. You kick at the air, but cannot raise yourself to the platform. Fear is overpowering you now. You look down and back up. Vader has appeared at the end of the gantry, towering, enormous, dark. He is walking toward you. His steps echo like the ticking of an enormous clock. You manage to pull yourself up onto the gantry. You climb to your feet, which takes no less effort than climbing a mountain. You ignite your sword. One last stand, you tell yourself. You can beat him. You try to feel calm, but you are merely trying, so you do not feel calm. Not at all. Maybe you should listen to Vader. Maybe you should let your anger out. Give in to it. Oh, but you can't even do that. All you feel is fear. His footsteps on the metal are an enormous clock that is ticking down the seconds to the end of the world. He strides towards you. Dark, steady, familiar. Without warning, you leap at him, your feet leaving the ground entirely, your lightsaber leading like a lance. He parries. You land on your feet and instantly thrust. You smell flesh being burnt. Gas is hissing somewhere. You stare. Vader stops and looks down. You have hit him on the right arm. You have wounded him. You feel surprised, triumphant. You are a great warrior. You have done the impossible. You have wounded Darth Vader. You are a Jedi. You have become a Jedi. Ah! His sword blazes through the air and cuts your right hand from your arm. The pain is blinding, but it is instantly eclipsed by your fear. For as you watch the most surreal sight you have ever seen, your own hand tumbling away from you into the reactor core, you see tumbling with it your lightsaber. And now the pain and the fear are one, and they are greater than you, much greater. You scramble away from Vader toward the opposite end of the platform. His voice is calm, knowing.
There is no escape, Luke.
Frantically, you scramble farther away. Suddenly, your legs slip off the thin, cross-hatched metal of the gantry. Your stomach hits the platform, knocking the wind from you. You cannot breathe. You are dangling over the abyss again. The wind is rushing by you, pulling you down. You are trying to breathe. Vader steadily, slowly advances.
It is useless to resist.
Your one hand is coated with sweat. It is slick. The steel rod is slipping from your grip. Your other arm, sealed with black, burnt flesh, waves out over nothingness. Your breath has returned. It is like little silverfish darting away from a shark.
Don't let yourself be destroyed as Obi-Wan did.
Vader's black helm shimmers in the dim light of the reactor core. His cape sways softly, like silk, with each step he takes.
Do not believe the Jedi lies. There is no life after death. There is only death.
Behind his mask, he is smiling. He must be. You are tired. So tired. Vader is no more than a meter away. You try to inch farther from him, but there is nowhere to go. The reactor core yawns below you. Suddenly, Vader's voice sounds softer.
Don't make me destroy you, Luke. You don't understand your importance. You have only begun to realize your power.
Your hand is slipping. Fear has taken complete possession of you. There is nothing left inside you but fear.
If only you knew the power of the dark side,
Vader says. And looking up at his black mask, his shining eyes, you believe him. He has defeated you. Utterly. Where is Ben, you think? Why is no one helping me?
Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this horrible war. We can bring order to the galaxy.
With one last gasp of strength, you shout, I'll never join you. But your voice sounds weak in your ears, like a petulant child's.
Join me, Luke Skywalker.
You are trying not to listen to him. Where is Ben? Why is no one on your side?
Obi-Wan never told you what became of your father.
Your father? Where is he? Rage rises in your chest. Ben told me enough, you scream. He told me you killed him! And then, there is a sudden silence in the chamber. And you feel something. Something you have felt before. You try not to, but there it is. You attempt to hide from it. You don't want to know. But Vader will not let you hide.
No,
says Vader. He will tell you.
I am your father.
Silence. No, you say, and then you scream it. No, that's not true. It's not. But you're not arguing with Vader. You are arguing with yourself.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Panic is taking over. You cannot see. You cannot feel the Force. You are screaming.
Luke, you can destroy the Emperor. He has in fact foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
You fall quiet. You open your eyes. Vader has reached out his hand to you.
Come with me. It is the only way.
And suddenly, you are calm, as if a great wave had towered over you and broken, and you were tossed within it. But it is calmed, been pulled out to sea, and you are left standing on the sand. You want to be with your father. More than anything in the universe, this is what you want. It's what you've always wanted. But Vader is not your father. Not anymore. You let go of the platform and fall into the abyss. Leia, Lando, R2-D2, and Chewbacca, with C-3PO still fastened to his back, emerge onto the landing platform. The Millennium Falcon awaits, framed by the lurid, candy-colored sky. Sweet gases perfume the air.
She should be ready to go,
Lando says, gazing at his old ship. Suddenly, blaster fire erupts behind them. Go! He shouts.
I'll cover you.
But Leia has already crouched beside him, and together they return the stormtroopers' fire with a ferocious volley of their own. Chewie sprints for the ship, activates the gangway, and then runs up it. C-3PO still buckled to his big, hairy back.
Ow!
C-3PO shouts, his head slamming into the doorframe.
Ow, again! Bend down, you oversized toupee!
Chewie bends over, gets inside, and makes his way into the cockpit, with R2 following close behind. Leia and Lando let loose one more fiery round, pinning the stormtroopers back behind the platform doors. Come on! Leia shouts. They disappear up the gangway, and before the stormtroopers can get off another shot, the Falcon is skybound. You fall, and fall, and fall. Then you hit the wall of the reactor core. A garbage chute opens, meant to keep the core clear of detritus. You are sucked in. Barely conscious, you slide through a long chute. Then the chute drops away. You are falling again. And the presence of Vader, of your father,
Your former father is fading. You are moving very fast. And now the air is suddenly cold and faintly sweet. And the light is pink and yellow and orange, like sunset. Without thinking, you reach out and grab onto a metal rod. It bends and holds. You are no longer falling. You wrap your legs around the rod and close your eyes. Below you, 1,000 meters of gas go floating by. Below that, the boiling surface of Bespin bubbles at a steady 6,000 degrees. You hold on to the metal rod and try not to pass out. The Vulcan is speeding into the upper atmosphere. The pink of the sky is fading to navy. Ahead of the ship, there is black, with stars winking welcomely. And out there, somewhere, is Han. Your legs are shaking uncontrollably. Your one hand is gripping the cold steel of the metal rod, a weather vane. But your hand is sweaty, and you're losing your grip. Wind is whipping your face, rocking the flimsy metal vane back and forth. You are framed by the vast expanse of pink Bespin sky. You glance down again. To fall is to die, for certain. You try to summon the Force to accomplish what you don't even know, but you are spent. Your whole body trembles. There's nothing left. You cannot feel the Force. You can't even feel your feet as they slide farther and farther down the weather vane. Ben! You scream. Ben! It's like calling for your father. The one who acted like your father. Who protected you when you needed protecting. Who taught you when you needed guidance. Ben! But he does not answer. You are alone. And then, as your single hand begins to lose its grip, you feel something. No, someone. Another being who is strong with the Force. You feel this person shining through the field of the Force, like a candle in a dark room. And it is close to you. She is close to you. Leia? You mutter. How did you never feel it before? Leia! And then you hear, Luke. Lesson Sigh, a long distance call. The Force is reality. Everything, from electrons to planets, is made up of the Force. This is why, if you understand it and have trained yourself, you can sense what you cannot see. You can move what you cannot touch. You can speak with those you cannot hear. Do that now. Close your eyes. Meditate for a little while. Then think of someone who is not nearby. Someone who is in another room. Or another country. Or maybe not a part of this world anymore. Reach out to him or her with your mind. Let your thoughts trace their way through the Force. Around the doorframe. Over the ocean. Past the gateway of life, to wherever this person is. Put yourself beside this person. Speak to her. Smile at him. Put your hand in hers. If you are one with the Force, he will hear you. Really, she is not far away.
Chapter 28. Chewbacca is steering the Falcon. Lando is monitoring readouts, and Leia is in the co-pilot's chair. She is staring straight ahead, but she is not seeing, nor hearing. She is feeling your voice. Leia, you think.
Luke,
she whispers. Suddenly, Leia spins to Lando.
We have to go back.
Back? He exclaims.
Agrees Chewie.
Luke needs us. I can sense it.
Princess, Lando begins. Vader is back there, and...
Luke needs us.
But...
A deep growl emanates from Chewbacca. Both Leia and Lando look at him,
he has already begun to turn the ship around.
Leia, you call. Leia!
The pink and orange sky is going black. Not because night is falling, because you can't see. Your hand is too wet to hold on. Your legs have given up. And then, there it is, zooming through the atmosphere. The Falcon. You almost let go right then, with relief, with exhaustion. But you wait. The ship is under you. The top hatch opens. The dashing man from the mining colony is there, with Chewie and Leia. You let go. On the bridge of the Star Destroyer orbiting the planet of Bespin, Darth Vader watches the monitoring screen. A small, disc-like spaceship emerges from the planet's pastel-colored ozone and enters space.
The Falcon is in range, Lord Vader,
Admiral Piet announces.
And you've disabled the hyperdrive?
Yes, my lord, as you instructed.
Good.
Okay, Lando shouts, as Bespin fades behind them. Now let's get out of here.
He has deposited you on a bed in the medical bay. You are, for the time being, useless. Chewbacca is flipping switches all over the cockpit. Leia is staring through the windscreen at the lurking Star Destroyer.
Ready, Chewie?
Chewbacca roars.
Okay, Lando says. Punch it!
Chewbacca pulls down on the hyperdrive lever, and nothing. Leia throws up her hands.
This ship!
They fixed it!
Lando cries.
They told me they fixed it! It's not my fault!
On the Imperial Star Destroyer, Vader turns to the Admiral.
Prepare your troops to board. Set your weapons to stun.
Very good, my lord.
Chewbacca and Lando run through the ship, checking valves and adjusting meters.
What is it? What's gone wrong?
Lando shouts. Chewbacca howls in frustration. In the medical bay, your eyes are closed, your body limp. The pain in your right arm is a dull, steady throb. You are barely conscious. And then you hear a voice, deep and resonant, and almost pleading.
Luke.
Your eyes open. Your skin tingles. Father, you say.
Son, come with me.
You are fighting back tears.
Son.
The word you've always longed to hear. At last. At last.
Son.
Vader whispers. And you can tell he means it. In another part of the ship, R2-D2 is welding C-3PO's legs back onto his torso. C-3PO is not pleased.
Well, I know I've looked better. What do you expect? What do you mean you know why we're not going to hyperspace?
R2 finishes connecting the right leg and starts on the left.
The computer on Bespin told you. You know you can't trust strange computers. And who knows what kind of diseases you have now? You should be wearing gloves while you're working on me.
Chewbacca runs by, howling, banging a wrench against random control boards. Suddenly, R2 leaves C-3PO lying on the floor, partially reassembled, and rolls over to a nearby port. He inserts his communicator.
What are you doing? Come back here and put my other leg on this instant. What do you know about fixing hyperdrives? I'm lying here in pieces and you're having delusions of grandeur.
In the cockpit, Lando and Leia watch helplessly as they are pulled into the belly of the enormous Star Destroyer. Chewbacca roars and bangs on some more panels. And then, the stars start to stretch as if they're being pulled apart from each end. Lando's and Leia's eyes go wide. Chewbacca howls. Suddenly, they are all flying across the cockpit. R2-D2 slides wildly back over the floor. And C-3PO is shouting,
You did it! Oh, R2, you did it! You did it!
In the Star Destroyer, Darth Vader sees the Millennium Falcon suddenly disappear into infinity. He turns away from the monitor. Admiral Piette loosens his collar and begins unconsciously to massage his throat. But the Dark Lord takes one final glance at empty space, and then he turns away, his head bowed. Not in anger, in sadness. Lesson Omega, the final test. Okay, my young pupil, this is it, my last lesson for you. So far, you have done well, very well. But tests are not passed in a moment. Succeeding once is not success at all. So tomorrow, take a minute before you go to school or work or wherever you go and meditate. Just for 1 minute. Breathe. Then, when you're at school or work or wherever, and you see your classmates or colleagues, think about how they, too, are a part of the Force. They are swarms of particles, nearly identical to you, just separated by a less densely occupied part of the Force. And if someone says something you do not like, maybe it is mean or stupid or petty, do not say anything in return. Just realize that that person is being influenced by the dark side, and that you don't have to be. And if tomorrow you see someone sitting alone or needing defense or even just needing a smile, help that person out. Even if it makes you look weird or uncool. Remember, Jedi have a higher calling than cool. Your penultimate test is to live for one full day in harmony with the Force. Your ultimate test is to live the next day and the day after and the day after that in harmony with the Force as well. That is not just your ultimate test. It is the ultimate test. There is nothing more to being a Jedi Master. Oh, well, there are the backflips and lightsabers, I guess. But those will come. Eventually. Chapter 29. You are lying in a medical bed aboard a Rebel Star Cruiser. You flex the muscles in your right arm. The mechanical fingers, covered with perfectly convincing silicone skin, flex and stretch exactly as you intend. A medical droid pokes your fingers with a needle, and you wince. Then grin. A voice comes over the comlink next to the bed. It's Lando.
Luke, we're ready for takeoff.
Good luck, Lando, you reply. Through the speaker, you hear Chewie yodel. You too, Chewie, you add.
When we find Jabba and that bounty hunter, we'll contact you.
You agree. I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine. Then you stand up, stretch, and make your way from the medical center to where Leia is standing by a large window, watching the Falcon move away from its dock. She's been listening to your conversation over the comlink.
We'll find him, Princess,
Lando says.
I promise.
You put your arm around Leia and think about how you saw her. No, felt her. A shining point of light in the great field of the Force. You look at her, but she is staring at the Falcon. R2-D2 rolls up to the window, followed by C-3PO. You follow their gaze. You think of Lando and Chewie, but mostly you think of Han. You speak into the comlink, but when you say it, you are saying it for them all. Leia and Han, R2 and C-3PO, Lando and Chewie, Ben and Yoda, even Vader. You are thinking of him, too. You inhale and you exhale. And then you say, may the Force be with you.
A note from author Adam Gidwitz. Are you surprised that I've written this book? I may seem a strange choice to retell The Empire Strikes Back. I am known where I am known at all for fairy tales, particularly the dark, scary kind. I started working on fairy tales in 2008. I was a substitute librarian at a school in Brooklyn, and I picked up a book of Grimm's tales to read to a class of second graders. They were entertained, enthralled, enriched, and to be honest, slightly traumatized. Inspired by this experience, I wrote my first novel, A Tale Dark and Grim, which tells the true story of Hansel and Gretel by retelling many of the scarier, weirder, less known Grimm tales. My next two books, In a Glass Grimly and The Grim Conclusion, follow a similar model. What do I know, then, about The Empire Strikes Back? More than I thought, it turns out. You may be aware that George Lucas always thought of Star Wars as a fairy tale. He said as much at a banquet honoring the great scholar of mythology, Joseph Campbell. I set out to write a children's film. I had an idea of doing a modern fairy tale. Later, in an interview with Bill Moyers for the PBS series The Power of Myth, Lucas said about Star Wars, "If it's a tool that can be used to make old stories be new and relate to younger people, that's what the whole point was." Well, that's what I was trying to do with Grimm's fairy tales, to make the old stories new, to help younger people see the brilliance, the terror, the hilarity, and the beauty of those classic tales. Lucas also said that he was telling an old myth in a new way, that he was localizing it for the end of the millennium. And now I have the extreme privilege of taking what I wholeheartedly believe is the greatest modern fairy tale and retelling it in book form, and in doing so, localizing it for the young people of our new millennium. People sometimes complain that Luke Skywalker is not much of a character. He does not brim with personality as Han Solo and Princess Leia do. He is a little bland, a little empty, which is just as it should be. The hero of a fairy tale must be empty. What do we know of Cinderella except that she has to work in the ashes and her family is mean to her? Do we know her sense of humor? Her taste in literature? Her opinions on the politics of her kingdom? Of course not. That would ruin the story. Because the point of Cinderella is that we can put ourselves in her shoes, which, according to the Brothers Grimm, were made of gold, not glass. We all feel like Cinderella sometimes, mistreated, unappreciated, with great potential that is yet to be recognized. Her story has endured for so long and in so many different cultures exactly for that reason. Because she is so universal, so universally empty. Many modern heroes are products of that mold. Huckleberry Finn isn't. You'd know him if you met him, even if he didn't tell you his name. But Harry Potter is. He doesn't have a sharply drawn personality the way Ron and Hermione do. What do we know about Harry? That he's brave? That he cares for his friends? Frodo Baggins is another example. We know Samwise well. Even Bilbo is an idiosyncratic little hero, bobbing from breakfast to elevenses with a grumpy, frumpy, good-willed reluctance. Frodo has some of that, but not much. Mostly, he's brave and good. These heroes are not full characters. They are empty, intentionally so. They are avatars for the reader. They are empty so we can inhabit them. So we can do their deeds, live their lives, and learn their lessons. Luke is such a character, empty as a pair of shoes. In his Power of Myth series, Bill Moyers said to George Lucas, "I hear so many young people today talk about a world that is emptied of heroism, and there are no more heroic things to do." Lucas responded, "Everybody has a choice of being a hero or not being a hero every day of their lives. I wrote this book to give you that choice. I've measured those shoes just for you. Will you put them on?" This is Mark Thompson. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back. So You Want to Be a Jedi? An original retelling of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, by Adam Gidwitz. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, So You Want to Be a Jedi, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007. Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.